Good morning. I'm Jim Packard, sitting in for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you along with us today. According to a recent article in the New York Times, the number of undergraduate philosophy majors is ballooning. We will be talking about why students are becoming increasingly attracted to the field of study with Stephen Nadler, who is the William H. Hay II Professor of Philosophy and Max and Frieda Weinstein Bascom Professor of Jewish Studies at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Stephen Nadler, thanks very much for joining with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And also with Francis Egan, who is a professor, vice chair, director of undergraduate studies at the philosophy department at Rutgers University. And Francis Egan, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Were you surprised at all, Professor Nadler, to see this New York Times story about in a new generation of college students, many opt for the life examined?
Actually, I was pleasantly surprised, but not really surprised. I come across more and more students who recognize that philosophy as a major is a good all-purpose major. You don't have to be thinking about going to graduate school in philosophy or driving a taxi cab, but in fact, it's a great major for whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm. And Professor Egan, you're quoted in the New York Times story as saying that it's become harder for students to predict what specialties might be in demand in an uncertain economy, and so some people are choosing their major based on what they find interesting.
Well, I was speculating when I said that, and it seems to me to make sense that if in an uncertain economy that it may well be difficult to predict what jobs might be in demand, and so it would be rational to develop skills that are really essential for success in any field. But I don't know whether that's actually motivating students to go into philosophy.
In the introduction to the story, one of your students is saying when she was first asked about changing her major to philosophy, she dismissed it as frou-frou. People sitting under trees and talking about stupid stuff. I mean, who cares? Obviously, you take that as a slight, but this resurgence of popularity is an interesting phenomenon.
Yes, it is. Well, like Stephen, I was also pleasantly surprised that this is it looks to be a general phenomenon. Our majors are up. We've, as the article says, we've doubled the number of graduating seniors in philosophy in the last 6 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Is that also true at the University of Wisconsin, Stephen, that philosophy is now a growing major?
It is. What we're seeing a lot of are people who are double majoring, philosophy and something else. If they're planning on law school, for example, they might be double majoring in political science and philosophy. We have a lot of pre-meds who are double majoring in biological sciences and philosophy. And I think it's because they see that philosophy gives them that extra edge. It supplements whatever else they may be studying and gives them skills, critical reasoning skills, writing skills, good analytical skills to apply to whatever substantive track they may be thinking of besides philosophy.
Mm-hmm. It's seen as a pre-law track in many cases I see now, it emphasizing the skills that you referred to.
Yeah, I think a student who does a philosophy undergraduate major well will acquire a lot of the analytical abilities and also, to be honest, debating abilities that they think they might need to succeed in law. If a philosophy class is run well, a lot of the time is spent arguing, and not just arguing in the rough sense, but figuring out how to assess the validity and soundness of other people's arguments, how to get right to the heart of a matter. And I think nothing can be more useful if you're looking at law school.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Stephen Nadler, who is a professor of philosophy and a professor of Jewish studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and with Francis Egan, who is a professor, vice chair, directs undergraduate studies in the philosophy department at Rutgers University. One of the questions that people may have is, what kind of jobs are philosophy majors doing and finding work in these days? Let me ask you, Francis Egan.
Well, philosophy majors are finding work in all kinds of fields. I'd say probably law school is the main track after graduating with a major in philosophy, but also medicine, business, government and public service. Many students work for a year or two in the nonprofit sector before they go on to perhaps go to business school or decide what they want to do. So we're really seeing majors pursuing all kinds of careers.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, a small segment decide to go on to graduate school in philosophy and become professional philosophers. But really, that is a very small proportion of our graduates.
I saw an article out of Texas A&M about philosophy majors, and they were considering historians, authors, military officers, business professionals, things that don't necessarily require technical training that you wouldn't get in a philosophy class.
That's a little surprising. But, of course, as Stephen has said, that the skills that are developed in philosophy classes, debating, supporting one's ideas, examining the basis of one's ideas, these are skills that really are critical for success in any field.
Stephen, when you talk about philosophy, are we talking about any particular branch of philosophy that is more popular? What are the things that, for instance, that you teach?
I tend myself to teach the history of philosophy and moral philosophy. We're seeing a lot of interest, and I'll be interested to know if Professor Egan is finding the same thing at Rutgers. We're finding a lot of interest in three main areas. First, ethics, both general moral philosophy, but also applied ethics. And this seems to be fairly popular among people interested either in going on to business careers or medical school. There's a big resurgence of interest in medical ethics these days and biotech ethics. We're also seeing a great deal of interest in political philosophy. This might be the pre-law set, but also might just generally be people who find metaphysics and epistemology a little too abstract for their taste and want to get a better sense of what philosophy can contribute to discussions about justice and society.
Professor Egan, you want to amplify on that?
Yeah, just picking up on what Professor Nadler said, we're also finding a lot of interest in ethics and applied ethics, in particular bioethics. Ethical issues raised by the new reproductive technologies, for example. But also we have a lot of interest in some core analytical areas, theory of knowledge, epistemology, metaphysics, philosophy of mind. That's the area that I work in, primarily philosophy of mind and perception and cognitive science. And I think that this may reflect, it probably reflects the main focus of our faculty. We have strength in ethics and in epistemology, metaphysics, philosophy of mind. I hope I'm not leaving anybody out here. History of philosophy.
Well, they may not hear it then.
I'm
if
sure
that's
I
the
am.
Case. Yeah.
But our students are also interested in taking classes from our professors that have world-class reputations in their particular field.
I understand that it's been about 15 years or so since philosophy at Rutgers received an emphasis, larger faculty, greater curriculum. Is that true?
Yes, that's right. The department's been the university started building a philosophy department in the late 80s, I think, and the early hires were in philosophy of mind, philosophy of psychology, building bridges with cognitive science psychology department at Rutgers and the computer science and the linguistics departments. And we've really branched out from there.
I think, if I could add a point here, I think Rutgers and some other departments like NYU have shown great foresight here. If you think of the humanities generally at a good, strong university, you have to think of philosophy as one of its pillars. And you can't claim to have a great liberal arts school unless you have a very strong philosophy department, just because philosophy is in many respects the central discipline of the humanities, branches out in so many ways and touches so many other disciplines. And I think for a university or even a good liberal arts college to devote resources to philosophy is a very wise investment.
Yes, I think that's right. And I think this shows in a point that Professor Nadler made about the growth in double majors, students who are really combining work in philosophy with work in our case, in biology, in the cognitive sciences, in economics, computer science, and the other humanities.
You mentioned the biosciences at one point, and I know that there is a great deal of controversy over whether biosciences should continue or be expanded. A lot of the American people seem to be turned off to the idea of biosciences. Either one of you want to respond on that?
I don't think here. If I were to pick an area where, at least at Wisconsin, things are flourishing both at the undergraduate level and in the research level, it's the biosciences. We've invested a lot of resources into biotech, and especially here with recent advances. I mean, Wisconsin is the center for gene research, and especially Jamie Thompson's work in stem cell research. And that's had a real repercussion, even at the undergraduate level.
That's also true at Rutgers. The biosciences are very, very popular, and the university is a top priority.
We're talking today with Stephen Nadler, who is the William H. Hay II Professor of Philosophy and the Max and Frieda Weinstein, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly,
yep,
Bascom Professor of Jewish Studies at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. You've been on staff since 1988, I understand.
That's right.
And also a visiting professor of philosophy at Stanford, the University of Chicago, in Paris, University of Amsterdam. So you're seeing this from a viewpoint that many professors probably don't see, in that ability to visit other countries and have a chance to interact with their students as well.
Well, it's a nice perk of the job. What I've always found interesting is the differences in approach to philosophy in the Anglo-American tradition in North America and England versus places like Paris, Amsterdam, and Rome. Our approach generally here tends to be more systematic, focused on topics, theory of knowledge, metaphysics, philosophy of science, ethics, and so on. Whereas in Paris and Amsterdam, where I'm most familiar with it, it tends to be more historical. The bulk of their philosophy departments tend to be people who are doing scholarship in the history of philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in our departments here, history of philosophy is often regarded either as a service or of a less important field in the department as a whole.
Francis, are you confined to the Rutgers University campus, or do you get a chance to go out and teach elsewhere as well?
Well, I've been I participate in a workshop in Croatia on the philosophy of linguistics every September,
mm-hmm.
and that has students from all over Europe, graduate students. So that's something that I really enjoy.
We're talking with Professors Stephen Nadler and Francis Egan about philosophy and the rise in popularity of that as a major at universities across the country. And we'd be happy to take your questions in just a moment. The number in Madison is 263-1890. Otherwise, it's toll-free at 800-642-1234. Our email address, talk@wpr.org. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Jim Packard. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the number of undergraduate philosophy majors ballooning in the country, and we're discussing why students are becoming increasingly attracted to the field of study. We have two excellent guests, Stephen Nadler, who is a William Hay Professor of Philosophy, and Max and Frieda Weinstein, Bascom Professor of Jewish Studies at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and with Francis Egan, Professor, Vice Chair, Director of Undergraduate Studies in the Philosophy Department at Rutgers University. We have a line open if you'd like to get a call in a question to ask or a comment about philosophy as a major, as something to study. Let's start with Gene in Oshkosh. Hello, Gene. What's on your mind today?
Yes, good morning, lady and gentlemen. This is a rumination of a very aged academic, but I had the privilege of going to an all-boys college prep in Milwaukee, Marquette High, and really we were almost expected to take philosophy as a major when we went on to the university. So I was a philosophy undergraduate major at Marquette and English and speech as minors. But my career was in business administration, teaching at four different rather major universities. And I found it very, very different. First of all, the first point I should make is that philosophy, at least at Marquette University, was considered the penultimate major that you would take because of the skills that were developed in the critical thinking and the ability to criticize and look at more sides of the question. When I went in and got my MBA and my PhD in finance, I found myself in the colleges of business administration and around the country, and I found it very, very, very difficult to introduce courses in ethics or applied philosophy, if you will, into the biz ed curriculum. And that remains to this day. And I think if I look back, it's one of the defeats that I felt most keenly about is that we were teaching techniques, and I think this happens in other areas of expertise. We're teaching techniques, but we weren't teaching values in the application of those techniques. So I'm delighted to hear that philosophy is, if you will, on its way back, and I really feel it is a firm foundation upon which to study virtually any other topic, any other subjects you want. And I'll take any comments off the air. Thank
Francis,
you
want to pick up on that? Francis, would you like to pick up on that?
Well, I'm interested to hear the caller say that. We do offer a course in business ethics, and that's very popular. But I think that also that business students are interested, as the caller suggested, in courses in moral theory, and questions like are there objective moral facts, or are there just various opinions and beliefs that we have about right and wrong? So I think that all across the disciplines, there really is interest in these fundamental questions.
I think what's interesting, too, is the way in which the notion of applied philosophy has become so broad lately. It's no longer just environmental ethics or business ethics or even medical ethics, but with new biotechnology. And even in Frankie Egan, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Even in Frankie's field, philosophy of mind epistemology, with the study of consciousness and philosophy's connections to neuroscience, we have a whole new area of in a way, it's applied philosophy, where philosophers and scientists are working together in ways that 20 years ago would have been unforeseen.
If I were to ask for a description of philosophy, what would you say, Francis Egan?
I'm glad you're taking that question.
That's probably the hardest question that you could ask. In general, I'd say that philosophy is a practice rather than a body of knowledge. It aims at really critically examining the grounds of our convictions, beliefs, prejudices in any domain, in any area of inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a practice, really. It's a way of approaching what we believe. What we think about fundamental important questions.
All right. Very good. You passed the test. Bill in Sun Prairie, let's give you a chance. Go ahead.
Good morning. I really appreciate the fact that you have this program on highlighting the importance of philosophy. Before I ask my question, I'd just like to offer a couple of very good definitions of philosophy that I've heard. One is it's the synthetic interpretation of all experience. The other is thinking about things in the most comprehensive way.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, how can we bring philosophy more into the political realm? I hear every day the candidates making fallacies of logic, you know, and we are bombarded by a lot of propaganda, but no one questions what is truth. I just like to get philosophy out of pure academia and into everyday life and our political discussions, where statements would be challenged, analyzed, and would, you know, examine the most fundamental questions, like what is truth, you know, what is goodness, what is justice. You know, if we just address some fundamental questions, it seems like a lot of the rhetoric and a lot of the confusion would go away, and we'd begin to clarify our thoughts. What can we do to apply it?
I think that's a great question. I'm always struck by what little role as public intellectuals philosophers take in this country compared with, say, Europe. If you think about the aftermath of 9/11, it was just remarkable how the people who you heard from on television and in the media were politicians, journalists, even poets and writers. But very rarely did the media think to go to philosophers and ask for their take on those events. I'm not sure what the solution is. I think philosophers are doing a much better job now of writing accessible material for the general reader. Over the last 10 or 15 years, there's been a nice collection of books, both introductions to philosophy for the general reader, but also investigations of more complex philosophical problems for the general educated public. But I agree with you. It sure would be nice to see philosophers on those talking head shows, and not just politicians and journalists.
And also thinking about the debates that go on between the candidates, that if the journalists posing the questions thought more about philosophy, maybe some of those questions might get asked and answered.
I think also that philosophers have to themselves take a more active role in the public domain. As Stephen pointed out, lately there have been more accessible books and articles on philosophy, so they are making an effort. But I think that philosophers really have to push to play a more public role in discourse.
Our guests are Stephen Nadler and Francis Egan. They are professors of philosophy, Stephen at the UW-Madison and Francis Egan in the philosophy department at Rutgers University. And if you'd like to join in, the number in Madison is 263-1890, otherwise toll-free at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Leslie next in Preston, Minnesota. Leslie, what can we do for you?
Hi. I really appreciated the previous question right before the person before me. I never went to college or I just graduated from high school and got a job right away, but I always thought that there were so many issues that educated people seem stupid about, where it seemed like common people that had more time to think creatively and not just, you know, go to school and memorize answers and you know, like that. It seems like so many important issues were just educated out of people. And I'm wondering if what you study or what you teach is ever anything about how the Native American approach to life is about their ethics or spirituality and that sort of thing.
I'd have to say that most philosophy departments in this country neglect a number of areas of philosophy, mostly geographical or ethnic areas of philosophy, and Native American philosophical thinking is one. Asian philosophy tends to get ignored in most departments. I think it's just partly a historical explanation for that, that that's just the way things have turned out, given the way Western philosophy has developed. Frank, I don't know, do you have any thoughts on that?
I agree that it's really just very recently, I think, that philosophy has attempted to examine other ways of thinking. We have courses in Asian philosophy and Middle Eastern philosophy, and those are very popular. But I think that's really just beginning to be an important part of the field.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for the call. We have two people on the same line, so if you're calling and you get dropped off, it's just for that reason, not that we don't want to hear a follow-up from you. Bruno in Langlade County, let's give you a chance. Go ahead.
I was prompted to call by the fellow that called that had gone to Marquette High School because
yes.
It should be noted Marquette High School and Marquette University are Jesuit institutions. And I had the privilege of going to a different Jesuit high school in Detroit and on to Marquette University and Marquette Law School, majoring in philosophy and political science in college. But even in high school, the good Father Decker, who I will never forget, said, the essence of being in a Jesuit school is to learn how to think. That's what philosophy is. So therefore, anytime anybody tells you anything, turn your head on and ask yourself if it makes sense to you. And then, when you get an answer, ask yourself why, because the answer you got, whichever one it is, could be right or it could be wrong. And those Jesuits would be surprised if they had any idea how many of us they turned into atheists.
This point about philosophy in high schools, I think it's brought up by a couple of people so far in their calls, mm-hmm. both implicitly and explicitly. And I think we would see a great deal more philosophy in public discourse if the public, even the public who only made it as far as graduating high school, were exposed to philosophy. It's the rare high school in this country that actually has a philosophy course. So most people have no idea what philosophy is. They've got no familiarity with the history of philosophy. They don't even know who Socrates is or what he was interested in. Imagine how much could be added to our high school curricula if, in addition to algebra, trig, history, and English, and SAT preparation, students were required to take one course in philosophy.
Yes, I think that really would be interesting. As Stephen said, students get to college and they don't know what philosophy is. Some jump into a philosophy course in their first year and really like it, but it seems like we're missing a big opportunity to really present this to high school students and catch them early.
Mm-hmm. I understand that the skill set that's gained by philosophy majors, let's say, are the ability to think logically, the ability to analyze and solve problems, the ability to assess pros and cons of proposed schemes, the ability to write and speak clearly, attending to details, and the ability to ask the right questions. It sounds like a wonderful set of skills that, as you say, many people don't ever get the opportunity to even investigate whether or not they would like to do that.
I would add a real low tolerance for muddled thinking.
And that's difficult to find these days.
Yep.
All right. Anne and Madison, let's give you a chance. Go ahead.
Hi. This sort of follows what a couple of people have already said, but when I was in college, I took a course in logic. It was only 3 credits, I think, but it was taught as part of the philosophy department's courses. And I thought it was absolutely fascinating because, it was almost mathematical. Just because all A or B doesn't necessarily mean that all B or A. And you can show it just by drawing little circles, overlapping and concentric. And logic is it's so provable. And I thought in those days, and I still do, that people ought to, logic, maybe not in high school, but I think by the time you get to college, every student ought to have to take at least an elementary course in logic to see what it's all about. And second, I've always been interested in language, and whenever I hear a word that I haven't heard before in whatever language, I try to relate it to, the other words in various languages or in English or whatever. That I do know and try to trace these words back to their roots, and especially historical and comparative linguistics is really interesting to me. And I wondered if you could talk about what the philosophy of linguistics is.
Okay. Excuse me. I really like your point about logic, first of all, so let me address that. So I teach formal logic, and I really enjoy it. I teach generally to big classes, students who are mostly not philosophy majors, so majors in all kinds of different areas. And English majors, for example, tell me that they love the course. They see a different way of thinking formally that they hadn't encountered before, and they can apply it in their thinking in all kinds of different domains. Philosophy of linguistics. Well, one question that I'm interested in, I mainly do philosophy of mind and psychology, so I'm concerned with questions like whether there's a deep divide between the things that have minds and the things that don't. And I'm interested in particular in whether the capacity for language marks a deep division, say, between us and other animals. So my interest in philosophy of linguistics is really based in an interest in what's involved in thinking, and is language a fundamental necessary condition for thinking?
Stephen Nadler, let me ask you something that our caller said was that it seemed that she enjoyed the course for what she learned, and so is it pretty much in the professor's hands as to how successful this class is going to be?
Absolutely. I think that's true of any class at university.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking as somebody who now has a daughter in college, and I always say go for the professor, not for the subject. Sometimes it's just the inspiration you can get there. But to address specifically the logic class, that sort of philosophy is equivalent of organic chemistry. Most students who go to college as pre-meds think they have to pass that hurdle of organic, and they either make it or they don't. Logic is one of those classes where you may really hate it as you're taking it, but then when you're done, you say, boy, am I glad I did that. And just imagine how much of the history of this country, the recent political history, would change if people knew the difference between a valid and an invalid argument or could detect fallacies in reasoning. I would require logic of every single university student if I could.
Thanks very much for the call. We appreciate that. We've got more callers on the line, and if you'd like to join in, the number in Madison is 263-1890 or toll-free at 800-642-1234 as we talk with Professor Stephen Nadler of the UW-Madison and Francis Egan, a professor in the philosophy department at Rutgers University, about the number of undergraduate philosophy majors that is ballooning in the last few years and why students are becoming increasingly attracted to the field of study. I'm Jim Packard, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jim Packard with you on the Ideas Network. Good to have you with us as we talk about philosophy as a major, a study at the university. A couple of emails to think about. Professors, one from Andre. I've been studying this for years, and I'm now 60. Do you think we could ever be teaching philosophy in high school and have a class on the world's religions and philosophies? The young people today must be wondering greatly how we as a species has come up with such wild and imaginary ideas of reality. We did refer to philosophy in high school. Do you see that as a growing field as well?
I'd like to. I think it could very easily be done. We have one of the high schools here in Madison actually has a philosophy class, and it's one of the most popular electives among seniors. It can very easily be done. Although I would actually, just to clarify something in that email, I would strongly distinguish between teaching philosophy and teaching world religions. One of the things that always irks me when I walk into a not very good bookstore is how philosophy and religion often inhabit the same shelves. I think the two are totally different disciplines, and I think the more we understand the differences between them, the better off we'll be.
And an email from Gretchen. Schools don't teach philosophy because they don't want kids to think. They're taught to think alike. In kindergarten, the teacher noted that my son couldn't follow directions and showed me how she tested that. She showed me a page with squares glued on it. She said, I told him to cut square one and then to paste it down over here, cut square two, paste it down after square one, and on and on. He cut them all out and then pasted them all down. So he failed. He thought about which made most sense and was most efficient, but he was told that his thinking was incorrect.
Well, that's very unfortunate. I'm sure that's not typical of that was kindergarten?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's maybe a little bit young to be teaching philosophy skills, but
All right. Let's move on to Rob and Radisson. And Rob, what's on your mind?
Yes, I have a question. I guess my question would be, if philosophy is a social science and hopefully does good, what benefits, noticeable benefits, have we seen from philosophy as a society since the year 2001? Thank you.
All right.
Well, is philosophy a social science? Philosophy, the study of philosophy, mastering the skills that you learn in studying philosophy and considering fundamental philosophical issues, certainly has social benefits. So I think that really the benefits that we can see from the study of philosophy are in individuals becoming more aware, more critical of what they're hearing in the press. So really the values of philosophy are values of the personal education, I think, and that if the citizens are educated and questioning, and then that's clearly a social benefit.
I would agree completely. I mean, but that's been the aim since Socrates, when he was put on trial, and he said, I'm here to benefit the city by going around to each and every individual. I'm not sure what we've seen on the global scale or even on the national scale, but, you know, every year that more students come out of a university having taken philosophy, I think the better off we all are, because we're surrounding ourselves with hopefully students who have a better grasp of the nature of justice or the differences between right and wrong and the nature of a human being.
So our listener's question is difficult to quantify in terms of actual results in the last 7 years or so.
I would say so, but I think that may be more of a problem with the general literateness of American society. Perhaps this rise in the number of philosophy majors has been accompanied by a decrease in the number of people who get their information from reading. And I think that there may be a tension here between those two features of 21st century society.
Our guests, Stephen Nadler, Francis Egan, and let's go to Becca in Green Bay. Hello, Becca.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm a graduate student in philosophy. I'll be finishing up my master's this year and beginning work on my PhD next year. And I was wondering what the increase in undergrad majors will mean for the job market for new PhDs. Will it be better for those who do their PhDs in particular areas, like ethics, the bioethics I know they mentioned is an interesting area for undergrads before. So I wondered if it means possibly a brighter job market for new PhDs.
I would think that it probably would, as the interest in philosophy and in undergraduate philosophy and increase in majors in college, then universities are going to be looking to hire more faculty. I don't know whether there's been any increase in applications to graduate schools, so I don't know if the supply of philosophy PhDs has increased, but certainly it seems that the demand for philosophy teachers should be increasing.
Stephen,
the
anything?
The prospects look good, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you've seen there's been a nice increase in both the number and variety of jobs in philosophy since I started graduate school, which was I started in 1980, and with my applications to graduate school, there was a notice from the American Philosophical Association saying, if you're applying for graduate school thinking you're going to get a job, think twice. we discourage you from doing this. I think the prospects are much better now than they were then.
One thing that I'd like to add is that one nice career track for PhDs in philosophy or philosophers at any stage, even majors, is into the tech field. So students who have a mastery of formal logic often end up working in computer science fields or in IT.
Mm-hmm. Don, in Stevens Point, let's give you a chance. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to well, mention that people of all ages are becoming very much more interested in philosophy. We have an organization here, there are a number of them around the state and around the country, called Learning and Retirement Organizations, associated with our university here in Stevens Point. We have over 300 members in our organization. We offer courses in every field you can think of, in the arts, etc. And every semester, we have two retired philosophy professors, excellent teachers, who offer a variety of things in the topics of philosophy. And people are so interested, they have difficulty finding rooms large enough to handle the number of people that want to go to those courses. They're offered once a week for 3 weeks. And we'll have 60 or 70 people enrolled in those philosophy offerings. So there's a great deal of interest at all age levels.
I found the same thing, that I'll be invited to give a talk at a synagogue on Spinoza, for example. 300 people who show up. They may or may not know anything about Spinoza, but there's a great curiosity and interest about his ideas. I think the same thing would happen if somebody gave a talk on Socrates or pick your philosopher or pick your topic.
Yes, that's right. And I think something that I'd like to add, and that has maybe gotten lost in the discussion of what philosophy can do for your career, philosophy is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that that's really what's going on when you find seniors interested in it. They're not doing it for career prospects. My father he was a high school dropout. He had to work, and he went to college as a senior and took philosophy courses and loved it. So
mm-hmm.
I think that philosophy is fun. It's intellectually rewarding. I think that's an important, probably an important component in this ballooning of interest in philosophy major.
We have an email from Ed, who is a graduate student in educational policy studies at UW-Madison, focusing on the history of higher education. And this current discussion brings to light one of the complexities of higher education in America, the expectations of student and parents, and the expectations of the faculty. I think the university, in quotes, expects to value broad liberal education ideals, and students and their parents tend to focus on outcomes and economic benefits of a marketable skill set. Does this increase in interest toward philosophy represent a shift in student priorities?
I don't think so. I think it represents sort of a recognition that those two aspects or two perspectives on a higher education are not necessarily in tension, that what we would regard as pie-in-the-sky, abstract thinking under a tree, that is a caricature of philosophy, is false. It's just a caricature, and that there's no reason why getting good training for a future career has to preclude serious study of the liberal arts and especially the humanities.
And a question, can you comment on the current Liberal Education and America's Promise, or the LEAP initiative? Are you familiar with that?
I'm not.
I'm not either.
All right. Then let's go to the phones again, and to Laura in Green Bay. Hi, Laura.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly.
I just wanted to comment that I know that philosophy is studied quite a bit and quite universally at the high school level in France, and I'm sure this is true of other countries. And this might also answer the question about what it did politically, too, if you can draw your own conclusions about the current Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
It makes people think.
A lot of people, if you get your doctoral degree in France, the chances of you getting a university position are minuscule. And a lot of what a lot of people holders of philosophy degrees in France do is end up teaching in lycées, and it's a required part of the high school curriculum there. And I know that almost all the people who graduate from the very best universities, the very best philosophy programs in France, end up teaching at the high school level.
And let's go to Lee in Milwaukee next. Hi, Lee. Lee, are you there? I guess not. Well, let's try Joe in Milwaukee then. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, I'm Joe in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a short comment. I guess we just can't get away from the Jesuit priest today. But I had a classmate. Well, I studied philosophy, and what I wanted to talk about was a classmate of mine who was 2 years behind me, who majored in philosophy at Marquette University here in Milwaukee. And, he went on. I'm not philosophically minded, but I enjoyed it. And, of course, in my day, it was all a scholastic philosophy. I really enjoyed, you know, logic, but it was all St. Thomas Aquinas, and I enjoyed it. But theology is what I really enjoyed at Marquette. But he went on with his philosophy major, and he got into theology too. But right now is what I wanted to say is that he is involved in the Medical College of Wisconsin here in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the faculty staff, so that he teaches like medical ethics to the medical students out there, as far as I know, because like you're saying, a philosophy is really becoming popular, and so a lot of these medical students, of course, wouldn't have had a chance to study much philosophy, and so with his background, he's able to give them that and combine that with some, you know, religious ethics, I guess, or whatever they would be needing in their practice. And I just thought I wanted to mention that because it would be something new out at the medical college. But the importance of philosophy again there.
All right.
Yeah, no,
because I don't think they ever had any situation like that there.
They're very fortunate, I think.
Thanks for sharing that with us. We appreciate that. Let's go to Jim in Milwaukee. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi. Quickly, I just want to ask the guests to provide perhaps either names of books or websites that could help us educate ourselves in this area, because I can't cite the source today, but somewhere I read that, for example, that in politics, that emotion, with a lot of people in political decisions, that emotion overrides logic and that it's actually geared into our thinking system and our brain system. So any sources on these areas or just general philosophy, it would be appreciated.
Either of you have sources for our caller?
I think Simon Blackburn published a nice pair of books. One is called Think, and the other is called, is it Ethics? Frankie, do you
remember? Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Those are really good and very accessible.
And was it Simon Blackburn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Published by Oxford University Press.
All right. That's something that you can go after. And let's go to, is it Devadlin?
Devadlin.
Devadlin. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. A couple of comments. One is to distinguish between educated versus intelligence. And I just want to comment on how in K through 12, the kids are not taught to think, and they're not taught to be curious. And how about the fact that local news programming in just about any city has the effect of de-educating students, because they can't even speak English. They don't know the difference between our and our, or to and ta, that sort of thing. Anything worth commenting on?
I just hope that we can steer more of our country's resources to education and away from bombing other countries.
Yeah, right.
That's all I would say about that.
All right. Thank you so much. We've talked about the increase in enrollment at colleges and universities across the country in philosophy, and certainly at Rutgers University, as you said earlier, Francis, that you're graduating twice as many students, philosophy graduates, as you did even 6 years ago.
Yes.
And so you expect this to continue, this trend?
I hope so.
Mm-hmm. And are we seeing somewhat the same effect at the UW-Madison, Stephen?
We are. Yeah, pretty much. I think we have well over 100 philosophy majors. When I was in college, I think there were only three of us. It's a pretty good increase.
That is a healthy increase. And I want to thank both of you for spending an hour with us today to talk about philosophy. Had no idea what was going to happen given the topic, but obviously we've stirred a lot of interest, especially among the Jesuits in Milwaukee.
Well, thanks for taking up the topic. It's always nice to see philosophy discussed in a public forum like this.
All
yes,
right.
Thank you.
We appreciate your opportunity to talk about your profession. Stephen Nadler is the William H. Hay II Professor of Philosophy and the Max and Frieda Weinstein Bascom Professor of Jewish Studies at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And Francis Egan is a professor, vice chair, and director of undergraduate studies in the philosophy department at Rutgers University. Our thanks to Carmen Jackson for on-air production, and to Rhonda Fanning for producing the show. I'm Jim Packard. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.